Blog Talk Radio.
From deepest, darkest Africa, across the polar ice cap, spanning the jungles of South America, without a compass, without a map, Blog Talk Radio and Wildlife Educational Services presents Larry Batson's Wild World. Discover the wonders of the natural world with nationally known wildlife educator Larry Batson as we visit his wild world.
Hello, everyone, from the rather wet and remote jungles of Clinton Falls, Indiana. This is Larry Batson, and you are listening to Larry Batson's Wild World on Blog Talk Radio. Hope everybody's had a great week. We've had lots of rain. Kind of soggy out in the Midwestern part of the United States, but and humid. It feels like one of those islands that our guest has been on tonight. If you haven't heard, and I know you all have, because, man, we have gotten so much, I guess you'd say, feedback, emails and so forth. But Rupert from Survivor's on with us tonight. We're going to be talking all about that fantastic Survivor show and also his charities and some of the many, many things that he's involved with. Boy, he's a walking corporation in his own self. So Rupert will be with us in just a few moments. And, of course, as always, bringing us the Wild World news, Dr. Henry Day. Good evening, Doctor.
Good evening, Mr. Batson.
We're coming across loud and clear, we hope, through all of our listeners in Ireland, New Zealand, England, of course, throughout North America, and a big hello to Slade Monk way down in Alabama who listens to our show every week. We want to remind everyone that the Wild World News is being underwritten by JetKaiserFilms.com. If you have a major corporation and you're interested in producing that documentary, that video that wants that very special touch, Jet Kaiser is the guy you want to get a hold of. JetKaiser.com, and he's been kind to underwrite our Wild World News for tonight. So, Dr. Day, what have you got for us?
Well, it's been an unbelievable week for the animal news. There's just so much news out there on the animals. But we got Rupert tonight, and I'm kind of excited, so we're going to try to get through it as quick as we can. So tonight we're going to do the tie-dye animal news.
So, oh, there we go.
All right, well, if you haven't seen this story yet, it's pretty amazing. So you can look it up. It's been in the news. We're going to South Africa. Whale wallops South African yacht. A yachter says her trip off South Africa's southwestern coast was wrecked by an unexpected whack from a whale. Paloma Werner said Wednesday the whale breached just feet from their boat off Cape Town on Sunday. It hit the yacht, snapping the mast in two. A passenger on a nearby boat photographed the incident. Neither Werner nor her companion was hurt. And then the whale just swam away.
You know, what are your chances of being wandering around on a sailboat and a whale just so happens to come up and make basically turn it into kindling?
Well, I was kind of thinking that maybe it's one of those things a whale never forgets. And maybe he recognized something on the bottom of the boat he didn't like.
I don't know. Okay, go ahead.
All right, Sri Lanka. A nocturnal forest-dwelling primate with orb-like eyes and short limbs was photographed in central Sri Lanka after being feared extinct. A Horton Plains slender loris was caught on camera after surveys of the forest by researchers from the Zoological Society of London, the University of Colombo, and the Open University of Sri Lanka. The primate's population is thought to have begun dwindling after 19th century colonial rulers from Britain cleared tracts of forests for coffee and tea plantations. So
that's
exciting.
Very exciting. It just proves once again there's still a lot to discover on this planet. There's a lot of places we haven't been, and you know, most of those places are underwater, but that's fantastic news.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
All right, now here's something that's going to make you happy. There's a petition that seeks the gray wolf's return. Tens of thousands of gray wolves would be returned to the woods of New England, the mountains of California, in the wide open Great Plains and the Desert West under a petition filed Tuesday with the U.S. Game and Wildlife Service. About 6,000 wolves live in the lower 48 states. The species is endangered except in Alaska, Idaho, and Montana. In the petition, the biologist for the Arizona-based Center for Biological Diversity asked the government to return the wolves to suitable habitats across the country.
That'll be a tough sell, I'll tell you right now. It's been, there's still, I mean, even with all the education that's gone on regarding wolves and how important they are to our ecosystem, there's still a lot of people that believe they're not a good thing, and but that'll be a tough sell. I hope that they do it. It would be fantastic, I'll tell you. In many parts of the country, as well as this state here in Indiana, where we have a terrible problem with the overpopulation of white-tailed deer, they would definitely make a difference on that. But that's a tough sell. Tough sell.
I agree. All right, Concord, New Hampshire. State biologists have fitted three baby eagles with satellite transmitters to learn more about their lifestyle and mating habits. The box-like transmitter rests on the eagle like a backpack, and it sends signals to a satellite that then becomes an email to wildlife biologist Chris Martin. Now, there's a good job to have.
Well, I wonder what the eagles have. That must not weigh very much at all.
No. Well, today with, you know, with the technology.
Yeah, that's
probably,
sure.
Probably the size of a walnut.
Probably so.
All right. Now, here's a story we reported on just a couple weeks ago. Bristol, Tennessee, a wayward exotic tortoise has been returned to its owner after it was taken in by a family. The Bristol Herald Courier reported that the large tortoise was found by Tom Adair when he swerved to miss it on a roadway. He brought the tortoise home and started looking for its owner. Well, he called the local newspaper, and the owner called the newspaper, and Adair had just been to the news station with the turtle to report it. So just like that, he made his way home.
Pretty amazing.
Yep. All right, now, Minneapolis, Minnesota. The Minnesota Zoo said a dolphin born over the weekend is doing well. The 30-pound calf has been swimming alongside its mother. The baby's mother, Allie, is one of three Atlantic bottlenose dolphins that resides there at the zoo.
Fantastic. That's amazing to think that they can that they actually breed those in captivity.
That, yeah.
That's pretty incredible.
All right. Heading off to Montana, state wildlife officials have removed a 249-pound male grizzly from Flathead Natural Forest to augment the grizzly population in the Cabinet Mountains south of Troy. Fish, Wildlife, and Parks grizzly bear management specialist Tom Manley said the bear was captured Saturday. The four-year-old bear was relocated to the Kootenai National Forest.
Well, that's good news, too.
Lots of good animal news tonight.
Absolutely.
Okay, now here's something that's going to make you happy. A Colorado story. The yellow-bellied marmots are growing bigger bellies. Yeah. No, so we'll see. You're a fan of marmots like I am. A lot of people don't.
Why would? Those who live in the Midwestern part of the United States, the yellow-bellied marmot is very close related to our own woodchuck. It's just an alpine woodchuck.
That's correct.
So why is its belly growing?
Well, the researchers say that the growing seasons lead the marmots to emerge earlier from their hibernation, and so
yes,
their reproduction starts earlier. And it gives them more time to gain weight, and then they head back into hibernation. And so and then once they put on a few pounds, that helps with their population survival. Yeah, it's but the marmots are doing good.
Good. That's the most important part about that story.
And if you, I'm sure that if you want to look them up, you can see their little fat bellies. All right, now we're going to go here locally. Our last two stories tonight are local stories. There's a jungle cat hybrid that people say is living in a vacant lot in Goshen, Indiana, lands of Goshen. The Indiana Department of Natural Resources thinks a hybrid of a rare tropical jungle cat is living in a vacant lot in Goshen. DNR spokesman Phil Bloom said that a Indiana conservation officer went to investigate Wednesday after a neighbor spotted an unusually large cat living there. Bloom said the experts looked at photographs of the cat and think it's a hybrid of an ocelot, which is native to South America. Bloom said there is an online market for ocelot hybrids, which are the ocelots crossed with another form of cat. And they say that the neighbors will have to hire a nuisance wildlife control operator to come and have the cat removed.
That'll be tricky. Must be an awful big vacant lot.
That's what I would guess, too.
Yeah.
A vacant lot. I don't know. But anyway.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, now you're going to really like this story. Group still scouring river for missing ducks. Plastic duck. Fort Wayne, Indiana. Officials with a wildlife advocacy group are trying to retrieve more than 1,000 plastic ducks that remain on the loose after a Fort Wayne duck race last month. Stop Child Abuse and Neglect says 17,000 ducks were placed in the St. Joseph River for the annual fundraiser duck race June 19th. They were swept away by a current, and 15,000 were retrieved the same day. Now, spokeswoman Jennifer Bowen said that 1,000 of the rogue ducks have been recovered, but some are still missing and have been spotted as far away as Ohio. The group is working with the City Department of Water to catch the remaining ducks, and they're also taking boats up and downstream to rescue the little plastic creatures.
I have no comment.
Yeah, well, I'm thinking, now, you released 17,000 plastic ducks into a river. You recovered 15,000. Then
that's pretty good.
That's not bad. No kidding. And then you recovered
another.
I'm figuring there's kids from here to Ohio that have a little plastic duck in their bathtub right now.
Absolutely. So is that our wild world news for tonight, Henry?
Wild as it gets tonight.
That's pretty wild. We want to thank Jet Kaiser Films for underwriting the Wild World News. We also want to remind everyone, underwriting our entire program tonight, featuring Rupert from Survivors, we want you cottages way up in western New York to Tacoma Lake. And if you're going to plan a vacation up in western New York, want to get into those muskie and that smallmouth bass fishing, you want to get to wewantyou.com, WEWANCHU.com. And also, it's a very incredible addition to this website called iKids Fishing. So for all the young fishermen out there, you take a picture of that big whopper that you caught, download it on the website, iKidsFishingWeWantYou.com, and you can compare it with youngsters all across the country. Also, a big thank you to McGregor Mountain Lodge in scenic Estes Park, Colorado, right on the boundaries of Rocky Mountain National Park. Go to that website, info@McGregorMountainLodge.com, or use that 800 number, 1-800-835-8439. Also, Bass Pro Shops and Tracker Marine Boating Center way down in Clarksville, Indiana, real close to Louisville. If you've never been to the Bass Pro Shop, it's an adventure in itself. While Dad's checking out the latest fishing equipment and gear, the kids can go check out the massive aquarium, which is unbelievable. It's also very tastefully mounted animals from around the world, just like you would see up in the museums up in Chicago at the Natural History Museum. Pretty spectacular. That's Bass Pro Shop. Give Dan White a call, 812-218-5369. And if fishing's what you're all about, Santee Cooper Country in beautiful South Carolina, Lake Marion and Lake Moultrie, known as Santee Cooper Lakes. They cover 171,000 acres and 450 miles of shoreline. Known for world-class fishing, they hold 7 state records and 1 world record. I know it's a catfish, almost 200 pounds. We've been fishing down there, folks, and it's an adventure in itself. Go to their website, santeecoopercountry.org, or call the girls up there at Santee Cooper. They'll arrange your trip, fishing, golfing, rooms, guides. They'll do it all. That number is 1-800-227-8510. Our guest tonight really needs very little introduction. He's probably the busiest man in show business. He was voted by viewers of the world-renowned Survivor Series as the most popular survivor. Native of Indianapolis, Indiana, also a fellow herpetologist, gentleman who has a love of reptiles. Rupert's with us tonight. Hello, Rupert.
Hey there. How are you doing, Larry?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm doing very good, man. Doing very good. Just hanging out, listening to the show, and you know, it's kind of cool. You and I finally get to hook up, get on your show. The last time I just, you know, like you say, I'm running around crazy after that silly show Survivor. I didn't realize that, gosh, my life was never going to be the same.
It hasn't been the same. Wouldn't you say of all the Survivor contestants, you've gotten the most out of it?
You know, I will have to say losing the game now three darn times. I've came close to really winning, but still winning the game and winning the big prize with having all of America help me win with the big vote that we did after All-Stars and showing how it counts, how you play the game, not just of Survivor, but, you know, the game of life. I've been a winner. I say thank you to Survivor every darn day of my life.
A lot of people don't realize, of course, here in Indianapolis, we've claimed you, Rupert. You know, any big
exactly
event,
right.
there's Rupert.
Yeah.
Indianapolis 500. I'm sure you're going to the Brickyard 400, right?
Oh, gosh, yeah. Oh, gosh, yeah.
And I know I saw you on TV at the Snake Ball, or the Snake Pit Ball, the big event before the Indianapolis 500.
And it all started,
you were in Broad Ripple, and there's a little place down there. In fact, any of the listeners that head into Indianapolis, they need to stop at the Bulldog Lounge.
Yep,
and that's and you've said this before, but tell our listeners a little bit. What was your strategy on getting on this massive program called Survivor?
You know, the same thing that I tell my kids in my mentoring program. It doesn't matter as much what you say as what you do. And when you have to make that 3-minute video, my video was, you know, us, my family on vacation down in the Everglades, you know, in the little rowboat with my daughter in the boat saying, "Ooh, look at that alligator, Dad, go get him." And I'd sneak out of the boat and, of course, go grab the gator and swim it back to the boat. And you know, you'd hear my mother-in-law in the background saying, screaming, "Oh, there's a big one behind you, there's a big one behind you," you know, and you'd keep focused on the little guy, and, you know, you only have to deal with that if he actually comes up and wants to really mess with you. But I was able to put home movies together, me messing around. Like you say, you know, I'm not the degreed herpetologist, but I have been a herpetology enthusiast all my life. And, you know, running around catching snakes and turtles and gators and lizards and frogs and fish with your bare hands. And I got a lot of that on video. And we put all that together with me playing State Fair Survivor and sent it in with an application all on tie-dye paper and a hairy, scary video. And, yeah. Made it out on Survivor.
Wow. And it had to be. Now, I know on your first Survivor program, that was in the Pearl Islands, correct?
Correct. Exactly right. Out in the Gulf of Panama where, you know, those Panamanian bows. We had The one time I actually got my hands on a snake out there, it was floating around in the ocean. Whenever you see those darn snakes, as you know, those big boas and pythons do not hunt in the ocean. They don't go down and drink water out of the ocean. They sure don't go out on the beach in the middle of the day. The crew actually finds a lot of snakes at night and will let them go during the day. And, you know, so there's very few snakes that you really see during the day. I caught one that's floating around out in the ocean that was ripped up from the talons of a bird, some bird of prey. I'm sure it was going to be food for some bird. The next day it had passed away. The medical staff wouldn't give me any bandages, wouldn't give me any medical, they were looking at me like I was an idiot saying I wanted to bandage up this little reptile. But it was just so amazing how this little snake that back here in the States would be a prized possession. Out there, we were looking at it as, food.
Right. Well, yeah. I remember on one of the episodes, they had a shot of mangrove snakes. So of all the places that you went, what was your favorite?
Well, I really enjoyed Panama. They had they had iguanas and the sand iguanas and spiny tail iguanas and green iguanas, and it looked to me even like some darn blue iguanas running around all over the place. There was always something to see in the jungle or in the ocean. I could go out every day. There were so many fish. I could catch fish with my bare hands every day out in the ocean. I loved going out and having the adventure every time. Panama, the first one, Pearl Islands, I loved the best because it was new and exciting. All Stars was really cool because my body was already beat up from Survivor. I was that first person to ever do back-to-back Survivors. Before me, they didn't think, our bodies would be tough enough. So coming out of the game, being home for a couple months and going back into the game, my body never weakened up. So I was even tougher on All Stars. But then this last one, Heroes versus Villains, out in the Samoan Islands, oh my gosh, there were no bugs, there were no sand fleas, there were no no-see-ums, there were no fire ants, there were no biting flies. It was, if it wouldn't have rained outrageously every day, it would have been perfect.
Well, that's amazing.
Because
usually you think of those tropical places, that's the first thing you think of, bugs.
Bugs.
And more bugs.
Bugs. Bugs, heat, and rain. That's why they call it a tropical rainforest. It rains every day. But in Samoa, the bugs were absent. You saw the villains tribe. Their shelter was a tarp stretched out over the dirt. They just laid down right in the dirt. Normally, you would never lay down in the dirt.
No. I even know that from trips to Canada.
Oh, my gosh, yes. You keep out of the dirt. No, the dirt harbors all the bugs. The dirt is where, and when you're laying in the dirt, you're looked at as food.
Well, you had to, on your second trip, had to look at your competitors in your own thoughts to yourself, which you would never, I know, because you're too humble, but you had to think, these folks don't have a chance in hell.
From the first Survivor, when I came back and told my family that darn game wasn't Survivor, it was Conniver.
Yeah.
You didn't have to be the best Survivor. You didn't have to be able to fend for yourself and make shelter and make fire and catch food and hunt things down. And you had to be a manipulator and a conniver I like showing that you don't have to be that, but it seems that sometimes, you know, that best person out there that is into the conniver side of it. When I got out there on All Stars and I looked at those guys and I made the deal with Robin, Amber, and Jenna and I, the three young kids and I, and said, if we work together, we'll make it to the Final Four. And actually, we did exactly that. We stood together. I couldn't believe it. You know, that's why I always said it was too bad that Rob was on the villain side, because in All Stars, he was a hero to me. He stood behind his word with me. You can't stand behind your word with everybody out there. There's somebody always that you're going to lie to.
Well, yeah, and I was so surprised that one of the villains wasn't that Johnny Fairplay.
I could not believe they did not bring Johnny Fairplay back. He was, you know, I mean, lying about the grandmother, bringing the outside game in, being such Oh, my gosh, he's rotten. He's rotten.
That's brutal.
I would have loved to have seen Johnny Fairplay and the original horse's butt, Richard Hatch. But Richard Hatch is still on probation or parole, on federal parole, and they don't like you leaving the country when you're on parole.
No, it doesn't work out.
Yeah, it doesn't work that well.
We have tonight, we have a very special friend with us, Rupert. In fact, she's with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. I figured before we go to break, I know she's just biting at the bit, but she claims to be one of your biggest fans all the way from Martinsburg, West Virginia. Jeannie Harrell's with us tonight. Good evening, Jeannie.
Good evening. How are you?
We're doing really well.
Hi, Jeannie.
Hi, Rupert. How are you tonight?
I'm doing wonderful. Just hanging out with Larry, telling some Survivor stories.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I have some questions for you about Survivor.
Uh-oh.
Okay.
Okay. Having been on the shows with heroes like yourself and Colby and Tom and JT and villains like Russell and Johnny Fairplay and Coach, who is your favorite person and who is your least favorite person?
You know, I've always said the toughest old man I've ever met, one of my favorite guys out there, was Rudy Bosch, one of the original players, the old Navy SEAL, the guy that was 78 years old when he went out to play All-Stars. Rudy Bosch, my friend, he's still my buddy. We still are in contact. Tough guy.
Mm-hmm.
Colby, honestly, even though he really didn't show up that well, that tough on this one, Heroes and Villains, Colby is a good guy, you know. Colby and JT and I, we were pretty strong together in Heroes and Villains.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Who did you
now,
the most?
on the bad guy side,
mm-hmm.
See, Johnny Fairplay and I don't really see eye to eye, but Johnny Fairplay is not... disgustingly, manipulatively rotten to the core evil, such as others, namely Evil Russell, who is just terrible. The same way that I show my kids in my mentoring program, sometimes it's hard to stand up to such evil, such bad. It's so scary that you side with it so it doesn't hurt you. We stand up to evil and call it out for who it is. When I sat there at the campfire and tried to show everybody Russell was evil and got him crazy, people looked at me and said, Rupert, you've got to stop. You know, Russell's going to get so mad at you, you're going to go home. And I looked at them in front of Russell and said, no, if we all stood together, we could get rid of him. He's rotten. By far, Jeannie, by far. The one that I really dislike out of all of the survivors, who not all of them are nice people, but I really like most all of them, except for Evil Russell.
That's great. I hate him, too.
He is rotten.
But I hate him, too.
Oh, he's rotten. They didn't show some of the worst sides of him when he pulled the cross off his neck and swore on Jesus Christ and his faith in Christianity, professing to be such a devout Christian, and you know, swearing time and time again on his wife's life and his kid's life. And, oh, I mean, the guy was just rotten. He's rotten.
Wow.
Yeah.
You were the anti-Russell.
Well, thank you. I, like, even though my daughter, after a few episodes, my daughter looked right at me and said, "Ooh, Daddy, I hope you get nicer. You were looking a little mean last night." And I had to say, I told her, I said, "Baby, it's not that I'm so mean. I'm in pain. I've got 3 broken bones in my foot, and it's killing me. And people are not listening. It's, you know, they're seeing me still. They made me sit out of a challenge saying Cherie was tougher than me, you know, with my broken toes, and made me believe that I couldn't complain about it anymore, and I had to just kind of buck it up." And it was tough.
Is that why Jeff Probst was kind of mean to you this last show during Heroes and Villains? He wasn't really very nice.
Jeff and I could not believe it, but he actually seemed to even pick fights with me at Tribal Council. The few times that he would talk to me, he would talk to me to tell me that my game was messed up, or that I had better start playing the game, or that I don't think if I stand to my alliances that you make on day one, how do you think you're going to make it to day 39? And Jeff was kind of mean to me this time. You know, and I have to say, I think even some of the challenges, they seemed like they were targeting my darn foot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I like to show, though, that there are very few tests for your body, mind, and soul that will test every part of your being. Jeff was just part of that darn test as he's beating me up, telling me I better get more sneaky. The little guy on my other shoulder is telling me, "No, you stand and be strong. You worry more about your foot and about feeding your tribe and taking care of yourself. And tell Jeff, go shut up." They didn't show that, though.
Mm-hmm. Rupert, if you ever do the show again, which I'm sure probably do that again.
Oh, yeah.
And if Jeff gives you anything, I'll tell you what to tell him. You tell him you really suck when you're on Regis and Kelly as a co-host.
Yeah. Darn it. I think that might hurt his feelings.
That's okay. We're going to take a quick break with Rupert. You're listening to Larry Batson's Wild World on Blog Talk Radio. We'll be back in just a few moments. Here on Blog Talk Radio, everybody.
Stay tuned. We'll be back with more of Larry Batson's Wild World here on Blog Talk Radio.
There are some visitors you'd just rather not see. Like your obnoxious brother-in-law, Louie.
Hey, everybody, we're here. It's good to see you. When do we eat?
But then there are some visitors you just can't get enough of. To make your farm or ranch a more attractive place for the visitors you actually want to see, contact your local Natural Resources Conservation Service office. They can help you build the habitat wildlife loves. But as for Louie, try disconnecting the doorbell. This message brought to you by USDA's Natural Resources Conservation Service and this radio station.
Ranger Station, Ranger speaking.
Yeah, hi. I'd like to report a bear sighting?
Location?
In the forest, near the side of the road.
No need for alarm, sir. The forest is where bears live.
But this was no ordinary bear.
No ordinary bear?
Yeah, one second I'm having a smoke taken in the view. Next thing I know, I am face to face with Smokey Bear.
Let me guess, Smokey had a tip for you.
He did. He must have seen me toss my cigarette on the ground. He told me never to do that because it only takes one spark to start a wildfire.
He's a smart bear. Did you know that 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans? That means 9 out of 10 wildfires can be prevented.
That's what Smokey said. I had no idea.
That's why Smokey's famous, and you're not.
Good point.
Get your smokey on. If you see someone in danger of starting a wildfire, step in and make a difference, because 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans. Brought to you by Smokey Bear, the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Sassy! Sassy!
This week's episode, Bobcat in the Cave.
Gosh, Johnny! Playing in the cave sure is neat!
Oh boy, a kitty cat!
Sassy, the kitty cat's yelling! What, Sassy? It's not a kitty? It's a bobcat? Speaking of cats, you like to stress the importance of adopting cats from animal shelters? Over 5 million cats go into animal shelters every year? And with millions of healthy cats to choose from, it's a shame more people don't adopt from shelters?
Ish, bobcat, heavy. Help, Sassy!
Why bother? We'll just get into more trouble tomorrow?
What's that supposed to mean? Oh, nuts.
Sassy is brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org. Remember, adopt.
Hi, this is Paul McCartney on behalf of Rad. If you're drinking, you can't drive my car or any car. Remember, if you're partying this holiday season, don't drink and drive. Got it? It's just not worth it. Doesn't make sense. Thank you.
A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, Rad, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Larry Batson's Wild World here on Blog Talk Radio. Once again, here's your host, Larry Batson.
Hello, everyone. Man, what a thrill tonight. Rupert from Survivors is on tonight with us, and we've had a great time. We want to remind everyone that this program is underwritten. It's kept on the air with our underwriters' support, such as Santee Cooper Country in beautiful South Carolina, Lake Marion and Lake Moultrie, down in known as the Santee Cooper Lakes. Folks, they cover 171,000 acres and 450 miles of shoreline. Known for world-class fishing, they hold 7 state records and 1 world record. You like to fish, Rupert?
I love fishing.
Man, I'm going to tell you right now, if we ever get an opportunity, we're going to go down there, because let me explain what goes on. They go fishing with a guide, and they put out like 7 or 8 rods at a time.
Right.
And they will tell you, they'll say, if it barely moves, that's just the current. He says, when that tip goes to the water violently, that was his word, violently. You may hook anything from 20 to 75 pounds.
Oh, my gosh, that sounds like heaven.
It's cool. A huge blue cast, and it's all down south. Beautiful weather, and also, here's their website, SanteeCooperCountry.org, or give them a call, 1-800-227-8510. Also, a big thank you from Western New York. We Want You Cottages, wewantyou.com. If you're planning a trip to go musky fishing or smallmouth bass fishing, man, Lake Chautauqua is just, it's so beautiful this time of year, and you need to go up there. Oh, by the way, for the kids, they have their website, iKids Fishing. And youngsters can download their photograph of that big fish that they've caught and compare it to youngsters all across the country. That's it. We Want You Cottages. And the Gregor Mountain Lodge, way out in scenic and beautiful Estes Park, Colorado, right on the boundaries of Rocky Mountain National Park. And I'm telling you, folks, I've been out there many times. You'll see elk and bighorn behind your cabins. It's fantastic. One of the most beautiful places in North America. Here's their website, info@McGregorMountainLodge.com. And that 800 number, 1-800-835-8439. And Michael Hodges, who's the owner and proprietor of that lodge, is going to be on in a few weeks. He's a tremendous mountaineer, and we're going to hear about some of his latest adventures. That's going to be happening here in a couple of weeks. Also, Bass Pro Shop and Tracker Marine Boating Center down in Clarksville, Indiana. If you like to go fishing, here's the place to go. Check out the latest fishing equipment, and the kids and mom can check out the massive aquariums they have on display, and also, all the wonderful mounted or stuffed animals. The number, 812-218-5369, and say hello to Dan White. And, of course, my website, LarryTheAnimalGuy.com. tells all about our wildlife rescue work that we do, also our wild animal programs, also a brand new book, Alphabet Swamp, that we just put out. It's all there at LarryTheAnimalGuy.com. And, of course, Rupert's on tonight. He has Rupert's kids, and we haven't even had a chance to really talk about that much, Rupert.
Exactly right. You gotta also check out our website, rupertskids.org, and see what we are doing here in Indianapolis, how we are saving hundreds of thousands of dollars to the community by putting these young men that are sometimes the third strikers, the kids out of the detention center, some of the kids off the street, the kids out of the foster care, some of those kids that are just kind of left behind, a lot of times that cannot read and write and have never really been shown how to make that legal living and are struggling at 17, 18, 19 years old with, already pulling their first or second or third adult charge and being classed as a habitual criminal before they even turn 21. And nobody really has ever even shown them how to go out and really go to work. That's what we do, is we take these young men and we empower them. We teach them how to go through an application and an interview, teach them how to get out and go to work. We've adopted 28 parks in the city of Indianapolis. We do all the mowing, the weed eating and maintenance and landscaping, the trash removal, the cleanup. We've started on our private sector now with the Lakeside Point at Nora. We've got a community day where they are giving us a couple apartments. We are showing them how they're going to help their community by working on the easements and the alleyways and the areas even outside their own community and their property. But it's the areas that are needing help. It's the areas that nobody is taking care of. It's the areas that the gang activity is starting to happen in and the graffiti is starting to show up in. And you know, the elderly in the community are not feeling comfortable walking by anymore. And people are, you know, and we're showing with Rupert's kids, we are showing how when you help yourself and your community around you, we all benefit. It's been an amazing little world, little program for us. It's been very good for us.
Well, I would like to say that you have used your celebrity with so much respect and what you do with these young people. I mean, this is your thing all day. I mean, 7 days a week.
Oh, gosh, yeah. And it didn't start after Survivor. I've been mental health. I've been working in the institutions or private sector for 27 years. Helping change lives, but this last 19 years here in Indianapolis, running our empowerment program, our vocational clinical mentoring program, our educational side, running the GED program, and now having the sheriff's department come to us and ask me if I would be part of the city and part of the correctional facility and help create the first ever reentry program for that under 21 in adult lockup to try and stop creating career criminals and start creating workers again.
That is just so fantastic. And I know what a strong group of men, the sheriff's department and women, the sheriff's department is.
Right.
And for them to be behind you, because
right.
I know several of them, that is probably the biggest pat on the back. I mean, that has to mean more to you. When they get with you, that has to be very fulfilling.
You know, I actually was out at court today with one of our young men and then walked over to the just the Marion County lockup, to the jail, and said, hey, dropped off some paperwork. And, you know, it's a shame that we have so many people locked up in our correctional facilities across the country and around the world. I mean, it's an epidemic, and not just in Indiana, not just in the United States. It's around the world. I'm helping run an empowerment program. I mean, we've got ties in South Africa, in Johannesburg. We're starting to move into Winnipeg, Manitoba. with the WXF Wrestling League, the Canadian Wrestling League. We're moving into Canada. With the Survivor Israel, I made ties in the Philippines that we're still talking with people out in the Philippines about creating the empowerment program. I mean, it's a worldwide thing that I have found that we can't, as a people, keep locking our problems up. We can't afford it. We shouldn't be doing it. The old ways of empowering our youth to help take care of us is most definitely the way that we need to go back to. And with the Sheriff's Department calling me and asking us to get involved in the system now, and what I've said for years, we're going to change the way we look at our kids that we're locking up. Instead of looking at them as the problem, we're going to look at them as how they're going to help us be part of the solution.
Yeah, like I've said for years, because I visit a couple hundred schools a year, and I have an opportunity, several school administrators I consider close personal friends.
Right.
And it's important, and you know this as well, that these young people, especially these young men, that they have male mentors.
Right.
There's no father in the situation.
To see a positive male role model that goes to work every day, that has respect for themselves and others, that shows you what a caring, loving relationship is supposed to be, that is very important. And that is, unfortunately, something that we are lacking in our society.
Well, I have to say that when I go into an elementary school and I see a male teacher, I have to go up and shake their hand every time and say, you probably don't have any idea how important you are to a lot of these students.
Right. Right.
And it falls, and exactly with what you're doing, it is the same. It is the same thing. Absolutely. Well, you need to be commended for that, and I know that every day that you have a success story, that's your payback.
Oh, being able to show, I tell people all the time, when I left the institutions in the early 90s, after seeing the client care go from client care to charting in the charts and not and foregoing most client care just so long as you wrote you did it. I mean, and I got out of the institutions, and I got into the private sector and created our own program and said we were never going to run like that, and have ran a program that has never been given a city, state, federal funding, no government dollars, no grant dollars, has no administration costs. 100% of any dollar given to Rupert's Kids goes to the empowerment and the training and the counseling and the education of our participants. You know, we pay our kids a minimum wage even to go to education classes because sometimes you have to use money as a motivator when you're taking a kid, you know. So that's just the way it is. But I'll tell you what, after a few years in our program, I see it every day with some of our kids as they go are ready to go out into the community. People would never believe that some of these young men, and every once in a while women, were those kids that were, you know, robbing the liquor store, holding the convenience store up, doing some silly home invasion, doing a smash and grab, stealing somebody's car, doing something stupid. They would never believe it because these kids really are wonderful human beings. 99% of the kids we get are successes. You know, I mean, we run actually around a 70%. We're a total voluntary program, so people can walk away, can tell us go, you know, go do whatever and walk out our door anytime they want. But we still run about a 70% success rate.
That's fantastic. Well, that's probably better than the high school graduation rate in many of the areas.
Well, in our area, 50% of every freshman class is gone before they turn seniors.
Man.
50% of every kid, 50% of every class going in, and that's That's a sad statistic, because that is a society that is just creating more problems for itself when you don't teach people how to take care of themselves. When they take the industrial arts out of school, the wood shop and metal shop and workshop and home arts and the cooking and sewing, and they take that out of the high schools. I mean, I don't know about you, Larry, but half of my high school year, half of my day was spent down the industrial hall.
Well, when I was a senior in high school, 9 periods of the day were in the art department.
Exactly right. The art department is gone now.
I know.
The art department is gone. The public schools, they worry so much about that core reading, writing, English, math, the core. They don't think anything else. And if you're not going to be college bound, they don't even care about you.
No, just get you through.
Right.
Move them on through. I know Miss Jeannie Harold probably has another question. I mean, she is your biggest fan.
We don't want to forget about you. We don't want to forget about you, Jeannie.
Well, I have another kind of survivor question, but it also has to do with your mentoring. You were around pretty bad people, like Russell, like Johnny Fairplay.
Right.
But you have not lost your faith in humanity, right?
Heavens no. I still do outrageous contracts in my business world on handshakes. I still have faith in people, even after we've been messed over for millions of dollars over some of our contracts. We don't care. We still, if that's what people want to be, if that's how people want to do, we go on with our world.
Mm-hmm.
The same way that we show our kids in our mentoring program, we put our address out there, we put our phone number on our website, we show who we are, where we are. When we go out, you know, and people come up, we give autographs, we stop and talk and say, hey. We encourage people to stand up and be respectful to others and not be hiding from others and, you know, show. It's like I always tell my mentors, we model what we expect out of our participants. So if I can't model being respectful and being good and having faith and trust in humanity, I could never be able to teach it.
Mm-hmm. Well, in this day and age, celebrity is what everyone wants to attain. So I think seeing a celebrity like yourself mentoring is probably the best thing these kids can see. Someone who is a celebrity but has integrity like you do.
Well, being able to show that I won $1 million and, you know, we gave the government half because it's gifted darn money. I gave my family some. My daughter got her college fund. My mama got taken care of. My family got out of debt. And we gave, you know, 270-some away to charity, not giving it all to Rivers Kids. You know, we gave $100,000 to one of the agencies that hired my program, Kids Hope, in the early 90s. I ran a mentoring program. We gave $100,000 like that. Being able to show that you take care of yourself and the people around you. We gave to ourselves to get ourselves out of debt. We gave to our family and the younger and older generation. The rest of it we gave away to others that needed it. And that's what we expect out of others. And it's been an amazing little 7 years, 6.5 years since that first survivor, with finding so many other people around the world that want to help us try and generate our program worldwide. You know, we get on our website, rubertskids.org, we've got our PayPal account. We get some weeks, you know, $10, $20, $30, some weeks $2,000, $3,000 to help generate that program and help spread that word and show that we are going to change our darn society.
Mm-hmm.
It's been good.
Fantastic. You know, a little fact that you told me when we had a chance to chat a few months ago that many of the listeners may not be aware of, But you were actually approached to be on to be on the television program Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah. The darn people that were doing the casting were talking to my agent, and my agent was talking to them about going out and being Dancing on the Stars. They called me up and asked me if I could dance. I'm like, They said perfect. And then, darn it, the ABC upper echelon said, we don't want a CBS reality star on our ABC reality show. So I don't get to go. Yeah, darn it, I don't get to go play Dancing with the Stars.
Well, you know, for what?
That would have been the only thing that would make me watch Dancing with the Stars is if you were on it, Rupert.
Oh, well, thank you, Jeannie. Darn it, we need to get a hold of ABC and tell them. We'll get a whole lot of new people watching if they put me on there.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. But I'm going to tell you, Rupert, it might be a problem for your married life.
No. My wife is very secure. I told Laura that I am not going anywhere. She has seen some of the cutest, youngest, sweetest, nicest young girls come and do flirty, as well as some of the sweetest old ladies and everything in between. Laura knows I'm not going anywhere. No, I'm happy with my wife. And going out on Dancing with the Stars, I'm a hard worker, too. I might actually be able to dance. I don't know. I've never really tried.
Well, I think that you would, and they did. They made a big mistake. I mean, that's...
Well, everybody out there needs to get a hold of ABC and say, we need to see Rupert on Dancing with the Stars. I'd sure do it if they'd let me.
Well, I'll tell you what. Start a Facebook page.
Okay, there you go.
We need to do that. Jeannie, that's your new talent. That's your assignment. That's your homework. We need to start a Rupert on Dancing with the Stars Facebook page. You get Betty White on Saturday Night Live. I'm sure it will get Rupert on Dancing with the Stars.
I am heading out to Rapid City, Sturgis, South Dakota, here in another week and a half for the big motorcycle rally. I'm up on stage every night out at the Buffalo Chip. I'll start that ball rolling out on stage saying, hey, you keep an eye. We're going to get me out on Dancing with the Stars.
I think we should do it. Now, Jeannie, you know about the Facebook, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
Well, this is your assignment. And I'll let you know how to get a hold of Rupert as this thing develops. And I think we should start the ball rolling tonight.
Oh yeah.
Because I think this could be big. And if we don't have any luck there, Celebrity Apprentice.
With my record label that's charting on Billboard's charts, number one on the alternative record label. With my production company now signing a deal with ESPN for all the college football and the Indy Racing League for all the open wheel racing, and with my real estate company and my marketing company and my reptile company, our herpetology company, and I could show a little something on Celebrity Apprentice also.
People aren't even aware that you're involved with all this, the record company and so forth.
Oh, it's, you know, with in such an economy that right now our program, Rupert's Kids, depends so heavily on private sector funding, and private sector funding going away, it's a darn good thing I've got so many other companies out running, because that's the only way we've been able to keep the lights on. Every once in a while being able to just dip into the for-profit side and help pay the bills.
Well, Rupert, it's been a real pleasure tonight to have you on. I know that you'll probably be on Survivor in the future. I mean, you're almost like the franchise of the show.
I sure hope so.
Yeah, absolutely. And we'd like you to join us again in the near future. We want to hear about all your latest adventures. We hope you had a good time tonight. It was truly a pleasure to have you on the show.
Oh, it was wonderful to be on, Larry. Thank you so much. Jeannie, it was wonderful to talk to you and meet with you.
Thank you. It was wonderful to talk to you. I love you.
I love you, too.
Everybody, this is Larry Batson. Next week on the show, the director of the National Conservation Training Center for the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, Jay Slack, will be on. And we'll be talking about his experiences in the Everglades. He's a herpetologist. It'll be a good one, Rupert. And you're listening. Please do. You're listening to Blog Talk Radio. This is Larry Batson's Wild World on Blog Talk Radio. Good night, everybody.
Thanks for listening this week to Larry Batson's Wild World. Be sure to join us again next week at 10 p.m. for more of the latest outdoor and wildlife news and information, along with great tales from your host, world-renowned wildlife expert, Mr. Larry Batson. Tune in again next week for another exciting edition of Larry Batson's Wild World. Larry Batson's Wild World is a Batson Wildlife Educational Services production in association with Blog Talk Radio.
Very cool. Anybody left on there?
Yeah, I'm still on.
Very good. Hi, is that Jeannie?
Yes, uh-huh.
Hi, Jeannie.
Hi.
If you ever want to drop me a line, get a hold of me. If you've got a pen, I could give you our office phone number. Or
okay.
You email at rupert@rupertskids.org. It's R-U-P-E-R-T, Rupert,
mm-hmm.
at, the little at sign, rupertskids, R-U-P-E-R-T-S-K-I-D-S, .org.
That's, okay.
That comes right to me. And then my phone number, 317.
Mm-hmm.
251
mm-hmm.
4732.
Okay.
And that rings right to my office. Debbie or I, my ops manager, will get that. If you need anything, you holler.
Great. And if you ever need anything from me or the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, just let me know.
Oh my gosh. Always. Always. We're doing. With my kids, I tried with one of the universities here in town to get them hooked up with the frog and salamander count. They didn't see value in my kids. They were too scary.
Aww.
I tried with my land. I've got a couple wooded lot piece in a floodplain in Rocky Ripple here in Indianapolis that has box turtles on it.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to do some because we're doing some stuff in Indiana with the box turtles. I can't get, you know, I mean, I forget that we are still scary to some people.
Yeah.
So,
well.
There's always, I don't even know all the times that opportunities are around where, gosh, my kids could be involved and see the bigger picture.
Right,
you know?
Right.
See, get the heck out of the darn city. Get the heck away from all the living on top of each other and the bad even being in your own house, even coming in your house from your darn mother or your family or your brother. Just get away from that for a little while. That's why I like our little wooded lot. We go out camping. It's in the neighborhood, but in the middle of this wooded lot, you can't see anybody else. You hear the crickets and you hear the tree frogs and...
Mm-hmm.
The kids have been outside in a positive way and spent the night outside in a and wanted to. You know, I mean, most of them have spent the night outside, but it wasn't a positive adventure.
Right.
I want to interject for just a moment. This is Melissa with
hey,
the
Melissa.
Program. Hi, Rupert. I just wanted to let you guys know that I'm keeping the line open so that you guys can discuss. But I do want to let
go?
You. No. I do want to let you guys know, though, that this portion of the program is still live. It's not live. It's in archive.
Oh, okay.
So it will. So if you're going to pass along any identifying information, probably should give an email address.
Well, that's cool. I get thousands on. With going to my email, that rupert@rupertskids, it takes you from tens of thousands to just thousands. It's crazy. But that's okay. I mean, I've got people to help me go through all that stuff. So if this generates an extra few hundred thousand contacts, good.
Right.
That would be great.
Okay,
actually.
Yeah. So
and now they have your phone number, too.
I know. That's cool. Although that'll make Debbie insane if the phone already rings off the hook now. You know, we got five lines coming into the darn building, and they're all usually on. But anyway, no, I always love showing the Mama Earth to our kids that grow up in the city that never really understand the Mother Earth.
Absolutely.
You know,
we have an initiative right now called Children in Nature, where we're trying to connect children to nature because they don't have that connection anymore, and they need it.
100%. People ask me how I was so good in Survivor, and I said, you know, back in the 60s, we let our kids go run out into the woods and stay all day and play and encourage them to catch stuff and bring stuff home and put it in a fish tank for the summer and let it go before hibernation. And, you know, I mean, that's what we used to do.
Mm-hmm.
We don't kids don't even have a woods to go play in anymore.
No, they play on their computers, unfortunately.
Yeah. They grow a virtual garden, or they have a virtual pet, or they go out and virtually play in their virtual woods. It makes me crazy.
Yes.
I know.
Farmland, that's the big thing right now, farmland.
Oh, I know. God, I know.
Rupert, can I ask you a question about the charity that you run with kids?
Sure.
Do you ever work with kids from out of the state of Indiana?
I do. I tell people the only way that I personally can help is if you get them to Indianapolis.
Right.
I have met with lots from across the country. I've stayed for a few days with a few young men and given some intense little guidance.
Uh-huh.
It seems to work, but it's I say it's just window dressing. I can help almost any kid if you leave me two or three days with that kid, but it doesn't last. It's just window dressing. It's with a lot of the participants that we get to really make a change in their life. You're gonna, for every year of age they have, you got a month of intensive work. So if you get an 18, 20 year old, or you got almost 2 years before they're really gonna walk away from you, knowing that they're okay.
Right. Yeah. I know of a family that's having trouble with a 19 year old. And it's basically all the things that you keep talking about, you know, the getting into trouble with the law and just racking up, you know, more problems with the law. And the parents have done everything that they could possibly think of to do. And he's 19 years old now, and he's probably going to end up being looked at as a habitual offender.
Exactly right. And the parents throw their hands up, and the court doesn't know what to do, so they lock him up for 10 or 20 years. He does, you know, 5 or 8 years, comes out after 5 years or 8 years with a whole new plan of how to go out and make better money being illegal. There, you're not going to send a 19-year-old, 20-year-old kid to jail for 5 or 10 years and expect to get a worker out. You're not. You're going to get a career criminal.
What kind of advice would you give to a parent who is dealing with a troubled child like this?
I would say first give them, write down that phone number to the 317. 251-4732. Have that 19-year-old or call up our office. Call that number. The first line, there's lines to get through. You got to get through either my mother or Debbie to get to me on that number. That's not very hard, really. But you got to be persistent. Let me talk to him. Let me just figure out where he's at. Let me see what's going on with him. It's hard to give advice. The only advice, really, once you draw a line in the sand, don't waver. A 19-year-old that has been enabled by a family forever will not believe you if you say, if you do that again, you're out of the house. Well, they're going to do that again. If you don't put them out of the house, they'll never believe you again. You sooner or later, You just draw a line. Just like in our program, we have no punishment, we have no reward, but we have natural consequences. If you have an underage girl in your house, you know, and you've been told not to, if you have booze and drugs, if you have a gun, if you put your housing in jeopardy, if you've been told time and time again and you finally got to the point where you signed the paper saying, if it happens again, I give up my housing, and it happens again, I will be the one that shows up and drags you out of your house and carries you to Wheeler Mission, the mission, and says, you better be at work at 8 o'clock in the morning. You don't want to lose your job, too.
Do you...
It's a hard one to draw lines, but and that's a tough one. At 19, you're dealing with years of the relationship between the kid and the parents, too.
Right. Do you think, though, that it's important to set down those boundaries with even a 19-year-old and say, you know, if you cross this line, this is what's going to happen, and stick to that? I mean, even if it does mean putting the kid on the street?
100%. But I'm to the point, I do that with my daughter. When I took my 2.5-year-old little girl, sweet little girl, to work with me in my mentoring program, to work with kids that have done bad things, I understand there's risks in everything. Showing a young man, a 17-year-old young man that I trust you with my prized possession, my daughter, you know, it takes a little faith, but you hope for the best. The same way that you say, if you do that again, you're losing your house for 2 weeks. You don't have to lose your house forever. You just lose your house for a certain amount of time. You lose, in our program, the first time that you lose your housing for 2 weeks. And I don't care if you sleep on the street. For that 2 weeks, you show up every day and go to work, and still don't let that affect the rest of your life. I will show you others that sleep under a bridge and go to work. You are lucky enough to have at least the ability to go walk into the mission, you know. But yes, honestly, even for parents that have never been able to draw the darn lines, I see it still, because we get some of those private sector, I call them the walking wounded. They're going to be fine. They're going to be fine all their lives. They're just going to be a little wounded because they had parents that enabled them all their lives. But even those kids, you have to take them away from the families. You take them away from the families and set boundaries. This is it. These are the boundaries. If you follow them, great. You'll have a wonderful time. If you don't, it gets harder.
Now, what about kids that are... like in custody at this time? Have you ever had any kids remanded to your custody from a court order?
Before Survivor, I would do emergency respite care where I would take a kid for short term, weeks, maybe a month or two, usually hours instead of days, you know, 48, 72 hours instead of a week or two. We've always had too many kids around us to pick one that would be ours. What we do is when I have the ability to have safe houses, kind of, I guess, for no lack of better terms. When I have Department of Child and Family Services calling us up saying this family is going to jail if you know, Johnny said, call you guys because you would help him get a place. If not, he's going to the guardian's home, or he's going to, you know, Lutherwood or the lockup or wherever. We hopefully will be able to find that usually emergency respite still for our kids. But we do not take custody of any kids. We will petition the court to, even at 16 years old, emancipate the kid. Just call him an adult. Take all his juvenile rights away. Call him an adult. Slam the gavel down, make him an adult. You know, we'll remand him to a 40-hour work week. Put him in a, give him the, you know. I push on every one of our kids to work a 40-hour work week and be an adult. I mean, shoot, I've ordered 12-year-olds. I've changed the child labor laws and had 12-year-olds ordered to a 40-hour work week. It helps.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, you know, and I agree with a lot of what you've been saying about kids and the status of kids in this country today. I mean, personally, myself, I worked in a public defender's office.
Right.
And I worked with juveniles.
Right.
And, you know, it's some of this stuff you shake your head and you think to yourself, my God, it's what is going on?
Well,
you know,
you look at the parents walking these kids in and you see the same damn thing in the parents as the kid is doing.
Yeah. Or the parents that don't know how to deal with the situation.
Or that's there again. Right. And because, see, now I'm a little jaded because we do work with that bottom 20%.
Mm-hmm.
Most of my kids are referrals. Very few are private sector walk off the streets. Those that walk off the streets are usually that middle class or upper class, you know, socioeconomic kind of money people. But their kid is just rotten. But that's just needing to get their butt beat up a little bit by work and taken away from their parents for a few days and show. I used to have one house where I would always let the kids go in and go to the bathroom in because it was a dirt-floored hole in the floor where the potty used to be, hose running through the window from the neighbor that they give $5 a week to the neighbor so they can have a hose with one of those trigger, you know, spray nozzles on it, and that's their bathroom. You let little Johnny, who is just spoiled living in fancy pants world, go walk in Michael's house that's a dirt floor with a hole that you go to the bathroom and then hose it down. Those are eye-openers. Sometimes the kids that are from the more affluent families just need a reality check. I show them. I'll make them sleep at the mission for a few days. I'll make them live in hell for a few days. They go back to their world thinking it's not so bad.
Right. Yeah.
Those, I love getting my hands on those because those, to in our world, those are easy.
Yeah. Well, this kid that I'm speaking to you about, when I first met this at the time he was 17,
uh-huh.
When I first met him, he actually bragged to me about how he had been in juvenile hall 23 times in 18 years.
Yeah.
He accepts this as a badge of honor.
Right. I tell new kids always, we don't come in, I don't ever hear you bragging about being in the system. That's showing me that you're an idiot. Brag about being able to walk by the guy and never get sucked into it. Be that one. Be the one that stands up and always goes the other way. That's the one who brags. But, yeah, they brag about it as a badge of honor because in their world, it is a status symbol. If you haven't gotten arrested, if you haven't been in juvie, if you haven't, then you're just a little, excuse the word, just a little bitch.
Right.
You're not tough. You're not a man.
Right.
Well, no. I like showing real men don't go to jail.
I mean, his father, you know, what person? There's very few people in this world who have never, I've never seen in the inside of a jail, you know, unless I was working. But, you know, there's people in this world who have, and they grow out of it and they become perfectly normal.
Right.
The fear for this particular family is that this is going to become a way of life for this young man.
Well, he's right at that time. At 19 years old, you decide, am I going to actually stop this silliness and go and get a job and work every day, or am I going to be a career criminal and not really care?
Yeah.
You don't make that conscious effort really that cut and dry clear, but he's making it right now. And that's why I say, just give him the phone number. Have him give me a call. I'm really good on the phone with 19-year-old kids that are lost.
All right. I'll do that.
You're good on the phone with everybody.
Well, thank you. You're very kind.
Well, you know, I've basically given this family the same advice that, you know, that you're giving right now. And
right.
My heart goes out to these people because, you know, while it's not my child, you know,
you people like you and I, we've seen this for so long.
Yes.
And we just know what's going to come out the other side.
Yeah.
It's just, it's heartbreaking because this isn't a bad kid by nature.
Right.
But it's just all he knows.
Right. And it's just, I mean, I was sitting in court saying, on the stand saying, you know, and the public defender making me say, well, yes or no, does the kid respect authority? Has he learned to respect authority? Okay. No, he has not. That's why he's still in our program.
Right.
That's why I'm sitting here, though, because I see that he's got it in him. If you lock him up, if you throw him away for these 9 darn felonies that you've racked up in one robbery, he's going to be lost.
Yep. Yeah, and something I've noticed over the years is that the kids that go into juvie hall, they don't go in there to learn anything other than how to do it better the next time.
Get better connections and how to do better. Get better hookups, get better drug connections, better smash-and-grab connections, better fence connections. When you do get your shit, now you get a hold of me. You know, that kind of guy. That's who they go in. That's why I never, never put my kids in NA or AA because they all just hook up. We all do that in-house on our own. We never go to the GED programs. We all do that in-house. And anytime they're in lockup, I tell anybody, keep them in solitaire. Keep them in solitaire.
Yeah.
But you can't. You can't. But, I mean, that is what our correctional facilities are doing now, is teaching our kids how to be better criminals.
Yeah,
I've said it for years, but it's true.
Yeah, I think the juvenile system is probably the worst thing that ever happened to kids in this country.
Yes.
I really do.
You can cuss out your teacher that you used to take a whack for and go back to class. You cuss out your teacher now, and that's a verbal assault, and you get probation. You don't go to jail, but then you get in a fight, and there's a violation of probation. Now you're going to jail for fighting because somebody said your hair looks stupid or because your girl just told you that they like your best friend, not you anymore. Or, you know, whatever, or the teacher was having a bad day and said, you know, Johnny, you're not an idiot. You can do better than this F, you know, and you stand up and say, you can't talk to me like that. I'll get you. Well, you know, locking kids up like that, and that's what at least half of our kids start out at 10, 12 years old in the system because of something just like that.
Yeah. I agree.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So, we like I've said for years, we're creating a revolution. I am going to be one of the leaders in our darn revolution. I said this 25 years ago. But we're going to do a gentle revolution from the inside out, working in the system, working in the detention centers, working in the mental health facilities, changing how we look at giving that care. It's changing. It is. And for only because we can't afford the billions of dollars to lock these kids up anymore. So we're looking now to those alternatives that may be, you know, millions of dollars of training and education and empowerment might save billions of dollars. In Marion County, right here in Indianapolis, we're talking with the Sheriff's Department. There's 487 kids right now today under 21 in adult lockup. If we leave those kids in adult lockup for the next 20 years, that's $4 billion approximately to our society. That's just the class of 2010. That's not the thousands ahead of them, the thousands behind of them. That's just the class of 2010.
Wow.
We can't afford that. In one county.
Yeah. Mhm.
That's unreal.
Mhm.
Yes,
wow.
We cannot afford that.
Mhm.
No,
well, keep doing what you're doing, Rupert. You're making
a
difference.
Oh, you know it, sister. Being able to show it worked for 12 years before Survivor. It's not the celebrityism. It was the empowerment of our kids. It's been saving our community here money since the early 90s under Kids Hope, Kids Helping Other People Exist, when we incorporated in 91. It just got bigger after Survivor because more people heard about it and we get more donations. So we went from 5 or 10 kids a year to 50, 60 kids a year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and every community out there can do the same darn thing. I've got the template in hand. I will show up at any doorstep of any mayor. We get the Department of Correction, Child and Family Services, Education, a few of the charities in town, and sit down and start talking, and I show you how you set the darn thing up for as little as $100,000 in your community. You put that in a bank account that hires your mentor, that you make that first mentor that jack of all trades. They're your mentor, your social worker, your director, your everything. You get a very small office. You start with 4 or 5 kids, and you realize how easy it is to get it started. And after your second or third year, you've got 10 or 20 kids. After your fifth year, you'll have 50 or 60 kids. It works. And you'll have the community behind you. And I go out in your community and I'll show businesses how you take your advertising dollars. You cut your advertising budget in half. You give half of that to the community. You use the other half to say, and I'll stand up with you. These guys are helping us in our own backyard. You should come give them your business because they're helping your kids.
Mm-hmm.
And it works. And people do. And communities go on. Like I say, we ran 12 years with no city, state, federal funding, no government dollars for 12 years. And then that's when I was just that hairy, scary freak that worked with kids out of the detention center. I wasn't Rupert from Survivor.
Mm-hmm.
And we still had private sector donations and people seeing a value in our program.
Mm-hmm.
It works. It works.
Do you want to exchange information with Rupert on how he can contact you?
You got a phone number?
Who? Or me?
Yeah.
Or who?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Well, I'm at Jeannie, J-E-A-N-N-E, and then underscore Harold, H-A-R-O-L-D, at FWS. For Fish and Wildlife Service .gov.
Okay, J-E-A-N-N-E.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, you, Jeannie, don't laugh at me, but I am computer illiterate. I do not get on the computer. When you get an email from me, it's from Debbie and I. What
oh,
the
okay.
hell does underscore mean?
It's the underline, you know, the little
oh,
underline.
Oh, oh, oh. I don't know what underscore. You got that in your address? My gosh.
Uh-huh.
Okay, Jeannie underscore Harold at fwf.gov.
Uh-huh.
Okay, good. And what's your phone number?
It's 304 876
7285. Very cool.
And I'll have to see if there's some way out that we can connect your Rupert's kids with the Fish and Wildlife Service. That would be really nice.
I would love that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you what, as we spread across the country over the next 15, 20 years, you will see we are coming to your backyard. We are coming to everyone's backyard. You just give me time.
Great. Okay, well, thank
very
you,
cool.
Rupert.
Thank you guys very much.
Thank
okay.
you so much, Rupert.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Okay, you guys have a good night.
You
good
too.
Night.
Bye.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.